This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am so happy to welcome here at the beginning of the year. I'm trying to find inspirational stories and stories that will help you think about this coming year and how we can all make 2023 better. So I was so happy that Ileana Gilad could join us today to talk about her book, Emerge Triumphant, Thrive Through Uncertainty. Hi, Ileana.
Good morning, Patsy with AZ. Zest for 2023.
Yes, that's what we need, some zest. You know, I was so impressed with your book, and I've been reading about your work, A Healing Voice Mentor, which is fascinating, and you're going to explain that to us. And I was just struck with one of the words that came to my mind, which is a favorite, of course, is joy, that you have a joy for life and a joy for helping people. So tell us about this book, and let's go back a little bit also to tell us about how you got there. You know, you had some struggles along the way, but you've certainly made a tremendous impact now in the world.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I'll say that what's coming to mind right now is I'm actually sitting right now in Los Angeles across from the Hollywood sign. That's where I was born and raised. So living through three wars, displacement and social unrest for 20 plus years in the Middle East really taught me in real time how to... And emerging triumphant taught me to thrive through uncertainty, like in real time. And what I discovered during those years, and actually the years prior, I left the U.S. in 1991 during the Great Recession then, and that was jumping into the unknown. But the fear of getting to the end of my life and not knowing why I had been alive and not discovering that joy of living day to day and making a difference terrified me more than the terror of jumping off into the unknown and, you know, that I could fall flat on my face and suffer great humiliation. So, from that, jumping off then, you know, to France and having no idea, you know, leaving the corporate world, this is back in 91, to France, and then jumping off into the unknown from France to Israel, and then living through those wars, but each day showing up ever so imperfectly has really taught me that when you listen inside first and stop giving your power away to that inner critic, that it takes you, your answers are inside, you know, you're your own guide, and it will always lead you to great places. And I continue to discover that.
Well, so there you were in Los Angeles, working in the corporate world, and something happened that you got up and went on this adventure, because it certainly was. And I know that for myself, I also, I'll tell you later on about a little bit of my life in Israel, but it was a big decision to do this, and then you picked France to start your sort of awakening.
Yeah. The awakening began with the sudden death of my father overnight, and I spent my 21st birthday celebrating my birthday at his funeral instead of going overseas, which was my plan. You know how life has we have our plans, and then the gods laugh. You know, his life is bigger than us. But that's when the awakening began at 21 years old. And then the jumping off in, you know, in 91, what the impetus for that was, my job was being made redundant. I was laid off. And they said, we're not firing you. We're just not continuing your position, and look for another job. And I thought, if I look for another job, I'm going to die. And, you know, here all these years later, as I listen, at this point, I've worked with, I don't know, more than 10,000 conscious entrepreneurs and professionals, you know, to help them find their true voice and to silence their inner critic and to thrive through uncertainty. And, you know, maybe some of the listeners, you know, maybe you're contemplating your next act, you know, in retirement, which I don't really even relate to, because retirement connotes being put out to pasture, you know, like your value is at doing whatever you do, and then you're like done. And I'm just getting started. I haven't lived. I left that lifestyle 30 plus years ago. And what I find is that, now in middle age, it's like, I'm just getting started. In fact, I am on my way out of the U.S. and I'm moving to Portugal. I bought a house in Portugal. And I didn't plan to do that. It happened this summer while I was visiting, contemplating my own next act. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, I also started off making adventures in my life and traveling and making my own way and discovering myself along the way. And I had so much fun with all of that. So I really appreciate it. You know, it's a big step, you know, for when you're in an American girl and you decide, I'm going to go. And you go, you know, all your friends and family are surprised. They say, where are you, you know, when are you going to be back?
Oh, yeah, they'll send you to the loony bin because it stirs them up. I know, because it's terrifying. But that's why I feel so, I remember back in 91, you know, I remember, you know, when I was being laid off and they told me to look for another job, decide what I want to do. And, you know, at that point, ever since I was a little girl, do you know that sense of there's something inside that's pulling you? You don't have words for it. It doesn't make sense, but it's pulling you. But we don't act upon it because it doesn't make sense. And then, you know, we get the kickback from outside. But I remember thinking, you know, in another 20, 30 years, everything's changing. The whole world's going to fall apart as we know it. And if I make my changes now, when that happens, 20, 30 years from now, then I'll already be on the other side and I'll be able to be of service to other people. You know, really be able to help in a much... There'll be meaning in life. I didn't understand what that meant. But because I followed that trajectory, just one day at a time, I didn't understand it. But I have found that acting upon the thing that is that inkling inside, in fact, in my second TED Talk, it's like that whole TED Talk is about it. It's called Trust Your Silent Voice. You didn't go, that was so empowering to me to prepare for that one. But I found that listening to that is what actually brings the confidence. That's what silences the terror, because the fear is there whether you move forward or not. But when you feel the fear and move ahead anyway, it's just, there's magic in it. And it's so funny because, you know, 30 years later, here I am, you know, helping others to make those changes. And since making this new change myself, I'm feeling more inspired to, like, excited to be a support to others. Because I've lived the majority of my adult life overseas, and I've lived and worked on three continents in three different languages, and we Americans aren't inculcated or educated in a world outside of these borders.
I know. You know, it was so funny for most of my family, most of my friends, they only got their passports so that they could come and visit me wherever I was. You know, they had not traveled themselves. So the first time they ever got a passport was because I invited them to come and visit me.
Where were you?
Well, I was also England, Iran, Israel. And all over Europe. So I was also in lots of places. But my family and friends would get passports only because they were coming to visit me. Now,
there you are. Yeah, there you are, really.
Yeah, and I think, and they were all happy that I invited them. Now, you found it with your voice. Tell us about this. I didn't have a good voice, so I never got. But this is interesting how you've discovered voice. And tell us about the chanting, and tell us what you do to inspire people.
Yeah, so, our voice is the bridge between our inner clarity, our inner truth, and our outer expression. And when your physical voice is disconnected from your inner truth, it disconnects from your outer, it disconnects you from what's good for you. I don't mean good isn't good or bad, right? I don't mean this is a judgment. I'll give an example. An experience of, so you're calling the airlines, or you're calling the T-Mobile, Verizon, you know, the telephone company, you know, some company for service, and you get the service person after holding online for an hour and a half, right? And that person is either reading, you can tell whether they are present with you or they're reading from the script. You communicate what's going on, the help you need, and you are responded to with a script being repeated by a robot human being who's absent. How do you respond?
I probably hang up.
You know, you want to tear your hair out, right? You have a conversation, even with a loved one, or, you know, with a friend, or with your kid. You know, the words are there, but you can tell whether there's somebody else in the other room. You can tell the words may sound great, but the words may sound pretty, but what you're experiencing is anger. You can tell whether they're frustrated, whether they're with you, whether they're with doing something else. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so that's an example of our voice being disconnected from who we are. And look at the impact that it has. We victimize ourselves inadvertently by not learning, and it's no one's fault because we're not educated about this. And it's my role in life to help people reconnect those two disconnected things.
Now, in the book, Emerge Triumphant, you have some, like, worksheets where you give people the opportunity to answer questions and to think about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great concept. And what do you want people to get from this book?
to hear their inner voice.
Now, when you
it's not a cognitive book. It's a book that is that helps you to hear yourself. Like, for example, that example that I gave before about, you know, if you have an inkling about something, you have a hunch about something, but you don't have words for it, the book has questions that will help you get to that clarity, that help you bypass the intellect. And see, you know, most of the time when we're speaking, we're reacting to our mind, to our brain, and to voices which aren't even our own, that we took in, you know, in our childhood, and they get programmed in, and then they're just running on a loop, and we react to those. We're not even listening to ourselves. We're reacting to this tape in our brain. And in a fun, easy, relaxing way, this book, you could open it to any page. It's not sequential either. And
well, there's
kind
a,
of
there's,
a,
there's so much wisdom in this book. And look, you know, you have here, tell us about Miriam and about Miriam's role in history, which is, of course, throughout the book, you're talking about Miriam and about feminism. Tell us why this is so important to you.
Well, the importance of feminine power, and that doesn't mean women or men, because, you know, every human being has, and when I'm referring to feminine power, I'm referring to the visceral, I'm referring to the hunch, I'm referring to the what's visceral and experienced versus what's thought. And Miriam is a archetype of feminine leadership. She was, in fact, she was the one who prophesied Moses' birth. And I'm born Levite tribe. I'm an unbroken tribe of it's 5,738 years. So it's like in my blood, in my pores. And in ancient times, there were the leaders would avail themselves. They would go to the temples. This is before Judaism. This is before, it's beyond religion. It doesn't have anything to do with a dogma or religion. It's just how we humans live for thousands and tens of thousands of years, much longer than our modern era, which you know, for these last 2,000-3,000 years, leaders would go to temples and avail themselves of special of sonic applications, vibrations that would bypass intellect and align them with their higher mind beyond the cognitive, that would rest, calm, connect them to their inner clarity, and help them to then know how to take the next step, you know, to make a decision, to act appropriately. This was how we lived. In those times, we were much more sophisticated in our use of sound. Sound was used for healing, for architecture, for spiritual, medical purposes. And I devoted my life and my entire career to the resurgence of this ancient way. And in the book, I refer to Miriam to the little that is written about her. Taking those examples to connect them to our modern day and problem solving and addressing our angst and anxiety and fears over all of the changes that are happening today. Because then, as the Hebrews went from slavery in Egypt, crossed the seas, and were in the desert for 40 years. That was like two, three generations of human life during those days. It took that time for them to then get to the Holy Land. They were in the desert. We've been 3 years in the desert. What's happening today is really, I see, akin to, there's such parallels to that story of going from slavery into freedom. And if we look at it from a wider angle lens, that humanity, we're moving from this slavery of our reactivity in our mind and on our way to an more expansive way of being.
Where can people hear some of your healing music?
You can go to voicesofeden.com. And actually, if you go to voicesofeden.com/book, which is where the book is, there is a beautiful little video there that with music that was composed and recorded at one of these ancient healing sites in Galilee. And this therapeutic singing way or healing voice way, it's not what we know of when we think of music. There's no performance here, and practitioners, who are certified, they're not professional singers. Well, actually, some of them are, but it's not about a performance. And what I love is they draw in, people who have no experience with it, and it's not about singing. It's about connecting to your perfect.
Connecting your inner self to the sound, which can take you away. It's like for people who have, it's perhaps deeper, but just like when you're in synagogue or you're in church and the music can just take you to another place.
Exactly. That's so beautiful what you're saying. Yeah. But what happens when you don't go into you're not religious. You're not, you don't go to a synagogue. You don't go to a church.
So this makes it something that anybody can listen to. Anybody can just find healing from it and find that inner peace, and they need to get your book. It's called Emerge Triumphant, Thrive Through Uncertainty, Emerge Triumphant. It's by Eliana Gilad, and we didn't get to talk about your experiences in the war in Israel. I know I was there in 2002 during, when they had, in March, when they had the big... The Passover event, and it was so terrible. And I was also in a couple of other bombings in Israel over the years, and terrorist thing. So I know how traumatic it is. And I'm glad that you found healing with your words and helping other people. As you said, you helped over 10,000 people. So I'm really just so honored that you joined me today on Joy on Paper. Eliana, I think you're terrific. I think the idea is wonderful. And people, again, tell your website.
Excuse me. voicesofeden.com/book.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for being on Joy on Paper today. It's been a joy to talk to you. And just next time you have another book, you come back to Joy on Paper, okay?
Great. Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Very interesting book. You have to get it. Bye-bye now.